This is LifeMint.com and you're listening to the Mint Editors Podcast with me, Nandita Mathur, and Mint's editor, R. Sukumar. First, we'll take the two big historic judgments that have come from the Supreme Court this week. Earlier in the week, they sort of struck down the instantaneous triple talaq. And just yesterday, the right to privacy has been declared as a fundamental right, of course, with reasonable restrictions. So in your opinion, what do the two judgments mean, if you can briefly talk about them?
It's been a long week.
Yeah, Supreme Court's
Friday,
on a roll.
Since last Friday, for that matter, right? Looking at all the things that have happened. Okay, I think first let's look at the two judgments, right? I mean, triple talaq. I think it's a progressive judgment.
Right.
Long overdue because Pakistan struck it down several decades ago.
Yes.
The only reason why we probably didn't strike it down was, I mean, there's no easy way to say it. I can't think of any other reason other than appeasement politics why we would not want to go out and do something. Because
right.
I think we should remove all discussion of a uniform civil code, all those things and all. I mean, I have a personal point of view of on uniform civil code, but I don't think we should confuse issues at this point in time. This was one of those things which was patently unfair to Muslim women. It was being misused. You've read horror stories. I've read horror stories of people doing this over Skype and WhatsApp. And WhatsApp I haven't read. I mean, you have? Okay. Which is even more frightening.
Yeah.
I'd only heard of Skype and FaceTime. But this is... So you know exactly what I mean. So it's about time it was struck down. Obviously, they haven't looked at the other practices like nikah halal. But at some point in time, all of us have to move ahead, right? I mean, how do we get ahead in life? Getting ahead in life is not just about economic progression, right? I mean, we have to start thinking progressively.
Right.
I mean, apart from working to make sure that developmental indicators increase, there are improvements which are made in terms of health and education and all those things. We have to be progressive in how we think. And I think this was an extremely regressive practice that was being carried out.
Sure.
Under the garb of the freedom that has been given by India to religions to do their own thing. You can't do that. You have to lay down the law. So I'm glad that the court came out and said that. And and everywhere, irrespective of the religion, where there is an issue like this, I'm hoping the courts will come down and lay down the law, because I think that's the way that we will progress.
Right.
And forget the politics of it. I mean, you know, actually, the least important thing of this, to me, is the politics. The people who filed the original case were all Muslim women.
Right.
Many of them have been affected by this. I think the credit should go to them. Credit should go to the court. Because let's remember, there are courts in this country which have not done particularly progressive things at times, and we've all looked on in dismay. And then you actually have a court that goes out and does something. I think it's damn good.
So what about the right to privacy? Because that also is going to have an impact on, you know, things like Aadhaar. Section 377 also has impact on companies like Google and Facebook and data privacy.
Yeah, it has an impact on everything, right? I mean, the courts had not, I mean, the Indian Constitution obviously didn't list privacy as a separate right. And the unfortunate thing was, normally when something is not listed, whether it's a right or not gets tested in court. And the previous two instances where this had been tested in the courts had come out and said, no, it's not. Whereas now they've said it is a fundamental right with restrictions, which is how it is. Like, there are people in our newsroom who sometimes come to me and say, like, why have we not done this, right? And the reason we have not done it is, while Section 19(1) of the Indian Constitution gives you complete freedom of expression, Section 2 limits it significantly by saying there are restrictions in various causes, etc., etc., etc. Which means it is not like the US, where freedom of speech is absolute. Again, I don't want to bring in freedom of speech here. So the same restrictions or similar restrictions will apply to this. Exactly how this translates into what happens is going to be a function of lots of legal tests in court. Right? There will be lots of cases where this will have a bearing. In some cases, the courts will say, okay, this is what the judgment says. Because the judgment lays down, fortunately, very clear guidelines as to when and how those restrictions need to apply. And that's the filter from which we'll have to look at everything.
Right.
I mean, including Aadhaar. Because I know that a lot of people immediately think that this judgment has come, it means Aadhaar is now gone. One will have to watch. Because, you know, the one of the things that the judgment specifically says, just before it goes on to the conclusions, in the long run up to the conclusions, conclusions. One of the things it says that governments have to make sure welfare schemes are efficiently targeted, and if they have to collect data for this, so be it, as long as the data is not misused, etc., and all that. Mm. So we'll have to see what it means. There will be a separate three-judge bench which rules on 22 cases, I'm told, which are all linked to this.
Right.
So we will get to know what happens with Aadhaar.
Hmm.
But I think it is one of the things that nobody can argue against, right? I mean, our stand has been that we need a privacy law in this country. We need a data protection law in this country. We need to have that.
So this is probably the first step towards that. Moving on, Infosys has been in the news since last week, and today's news tells us that Nilekani is back in the, you know, driver's seat. He's going to hold fort and find a new chairman. And is so, does this mean like this is the end of all the battles between the founders and the board? And has he come to clean up all that?
I think so. I think multiple challenges are Infosys, right? I mean, there's obviously the immediate crisis, but that immediate crisis is one which could be related to governance. We don't know because we need to see the findings of all these investigative reports that the company itself has commissioned on the Panaya acquisition. Yeah. So you clearly need to see that. The board had become dysfunctional. And it's good that four members of the board are gone. We are told that Nilekani will probably ask for the entire board to go, or maybe it could keep some people around. But I think dysfunctional boards have no place, right? You need to get them out. But they need to do two or three things, apart from addressing this corporate governance issue, because that's a serious issue.
True.
And that is what prompted one of the co-founders to go out, and Narayan Murthy to go out and raise the kind of stink that he did. I think it's also important for the board to set down clear guidelines on how they'll engage with promoter shareholders who are not on the board. Which includes Murthy, various other people. Because until Nandan came back, the promoters had no one on the board, right? Now they have him. But I think it's very important to do that. Those terms of engagement should be clear. And then, of course, there's the big challenge, which is really the business challenge, right?
True.
Which is there for all IT companies. The old model is gone. They have to go out and reinvent a model. As it turns out, the Panaya acquisition was one of the various acquisitions that was supposed to help them address the problem, but it didn't. I don't know whether it addressed the problem or not. It's still too early to do that. But look at what it did. I mean, that acquisition and the cloud surrounding it have created this mini crisis.
Right.
But that crisis is blown over. I think right now everyone thinks that, or everyone believes that Nilekani is the best man for the job.
Does it also mean that in a way Murthy has won because Nilekani is Murthy's man and, you know, close confidant?
I don't think Nilekani is anybody's man. He's his own man. He's never been Murthy's man. I don't think that's an accurate assessment of the situation at all. He would probably be comfortable with Nilekani. I don't think you can say that Nilekani is Murthy's man. He's never been Murthy's man.
Okay. Those were Sukumar's top stories for this week. Do let us know what you think. You can email us at feedback@livemint.com or follow us at LiveMint on Twitter and Mint on Facebook. The Editor's Podcast is also available on iTunes and audioboom.com. Please click on the subscribe button on iTunes to get weekly updates of latest episodes. Thank you for listening and see you next Friday.